Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon, colleagues. My delegation would like to highlight some key areas from MX2 that could lead to further discussion and eventual substantive outcomes at the Ninth Review Conference. Firstly, on biological risk assessment and management, as per our working paper, we recommend that states parties make concerted efforts to advance discussions on biological risk assessment and management and aim to provide some clear recommendations that are likely to gain widespread and cross-regional support at the Ninth Review Conference. A key initial task for a new systematic and structured science and technology review process will be to identify and develop appropriate methodologies, potentially making use of those that have already been tried and tested in previous meetings, such as assessment frameworks that have been evaluated in workshops throughout this current intersessional process. It will also be important to consider approaches that build on previously broadly agreed features, such as a review process should always be balanced in its assessments of both risks and benefits. States parties would need to be able to task any such process with specific questions in response to S&T developments. Any such process would also need to be able to access the diverse range of scientific and technological disciplines relevant to the BTWC, including areas of convergence such as bioengineering, artificial intelligence, and machine learning. A new S&T process would cover human, animal, and plant sciences and extend to government, academic, industrial, and other research communities and engage other international organisations where appropriate. An S&T review process must also be inclusive and geographically representative, as well as transparent with its reporting, while balancing inclusivity with manageability, to use the phrasing from our Swiss colleagues' working paper. Secondly, on a new structured S&T review process, we would like to draw states parties' attention to the discussions on novel approaches for S&T review, including the hybrid approach, as outlined by Germany and UNIDIR. This would enable an open-ended discussion and the option to draw in relevant experts when needed, but perhaps maintain a core membership for continuity throughout the intersessional programme. Finally, on the proposal for the Tianjin Biosecurity Guidelines for Scientists presented by China and Pakistan, the guidelines are a positive step forward in bringing together views within the BTWC on a shared code of conduct for bioscientists. It is encouraging to see the guidelines have incorporated the name of an academic institution in the title, which emphasises the purpose of the guidelines and the intention to engage scientists in the entirety of the process. The UK has always been supportive of finding appropriate guiding principles for the development of codes of conduct for life scientists. We have also promoted the idea that inspiration is taken from the Hague Ethical Guidelines. It is clear that these guidelines should be used as part of an aspirational set of guidelines and principles that should not be too prescriptive, but enable scientists to draw on guiding principles in developing their own codes of conduct. We believe that a system based primarily upon self-governance by the scientific community will ultimately provide the most effective means of managing risks of misuse. We would like to underscore the principle that responsibly conducted research must not be unduly restricted. So there are many elements of the guidelines that we welcome, and we look forward to taking this proposal forward. Thank you.